and I'm staying inside of my hotel room because I'm having, like, culture shock.
Are you? Okay, well, what's it like up there? The midnight sun, first of all.
Well, it's sort of a midnight dusk. At this point in the year, the sun sort of sets at around 12:30, and it stays, like, dusk for about 4 hours, and then it rises again.
Uh-huh. So yeah, what story?
It's really quite pretty. It took me a little while to get used to it at first.
I bet.
Where I came from, just before Yellowknife, which was Resolute Bay, the sun did not go down, and boy, am I ever an ignorant southerner. I just couldn't deal with it. I was freaking out.
Well, it's hard on the body.
It is. It's definitely hard on a Montrealer, that's for sure. How big is
Yellowknife?
Yellowknife has a population of 12,000, and I
Very
seem to
good.
Have met all the lesbians in the course of a week.
Well, let's just launch right into that, shall we? Okay, you first arrived. You arrived in town in Yellowknife. Where did you go first when you arrived in town?
I went straight to the hotel and started editing.
Oh.
Sat inside for like an hour, and then the day I was finished, I phoned a woman who Ann Golden, we all know Ann Golden, told me to call a dyke about town who's from Edmonton. And we got together, and she brought me to her houseboat, which was very cool. People live on houseboats here, sort of like Michelle Shocked, yet not. And, you know, hung out and drove around, got bit by mosquitoes and black flies and stuff like that. And I went to a party on the weekend.
Yeah.
A dyke housewarming party. It's very conservative here. People buy houses together. I mean, I won't even share appliances, you know. But they buy houses here. And it was great. I haven't danced barefoot on a shag carpet in a mobile home for, God, I don't think ever.
Ever.
So it was a wonderful experience.
Terrific. So people are pretty friendly then.
They're really friendly. It's really nice. The only person I met who wasn't friendly happened to be from Montreal. Imagine that.
Really?
Yeah. Montreal attitude. I could see it from a mile away.
So listen, what story are you working on in Yellowknife?
Well, I was just at the folk festival. Yes, there is a folk festival in Yellowknife, believe it or not. It just happened this past weekend. I spent 2 days dancing in sand and covered in bug spray and sunscreen. It was kind of gross, but that's what you do here. It was really fun. 2 day folk festival. And there was tons and tons of women performers. It was really quite remarkable. The Three Sheets to the Wind from Ottawa were here, and the Weird Sisters from Winnipeg, if you haven't heard of them, are amazing, and they were here, and a bunch of other female performers, and I decided to do a story on a woman who was performing, and decided to do it on Yellowknife, so I did a story on a 17-year-old girl who calls herself a feminist, and she's a Dene artist, and so I did a story on her, being a woman and getting into the music industry, and interesting notions about feminism from the eyes of a 17-year-old, so it was quite fun.
Oh, terrific. When do you think that'll be aired?
That'll probably air in about a month.
Okay, there's a bit of a delay then.
Yeah, there's about a month and a half lag right now.
Okay. Where else have you been?
I went all the way through Alberta, everywhere, and I shot, I hope everybody saw it last week, a piece on a cowgirl.
Cowgirls, that was great. Now, where was that exactly?
That was in Matisko, Alberta, which is on the border of Alberta and Saskatchewan. It's, west of Saskatoon, just on the border.
Okay.
It's just north of Consort. I went all the way to Consort. Oh, I should tell everybody this.
Go ahead.
I went all the way to Consort, drove out of my way to get to Consort, and there was absolutely no sign of K.D. Lang there. There had been signs outside the town when you enter,
uh-huh.
Home of K.D. Lang, and they were defaced and stuff when she did the cow thing.
Yeah, yeah, Eat Meat Dyke, I think.
Nothing
was...
Nothing there. Mm-hmm. Nothing. You wouldn't even know that she came from there, and it was actually the week that I went there was the week that the... that article was happening in The Advocate, so it was quite interesting. Lots of lesbian subtext happening in the show.
Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh. So you've been, and then you did the part, the lightning storm in Alberta.
Yeah, which was just a fluke. I can't believe they used that on TV. It was embarrassing.
Well, we couldn't see the lightning, but anyway.
And then I went to Edmonton for a while, and I was in Edmonton for Pride Week, and then for the weekend I flew to Toronto, because I had to go to Toronto. I couldn't, like, pass that Pride weekend in Toronto.
Okay, so that's what's happening tonight. That's what's happening tonight.
That is what's happening tonight, and everybody should tune in at 8:30, which is, what, in an hour and a half? In Montreal.
Yeah.
Wait a lot longer.
Yeah, at 8:30 on Channel 6.
Channel 6, CBC, and you. The show tonight, there's going to be a piece that I did in Toronto, Pride Day. Believe it or not, they're actually going to air it. I can't believe it.
So it's a two-minute one.
Well, we'll see. It's supposed to be around 2 minutes, but I don't know how much they cut off. You see, I don't actually see the stuff until it goes on TV.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, actually, because the first time you see your footage is when,
like,
it's aired.
It's pretty overwhelming, and it's also the first time I see what my friends have done on the show. I mean, I spent two solid weeks, day and night, with those people, and we bonded in a major way, and it's very weird to have this sort of televisual friendship with them. You know, that's...
See where they are.
Yeah, I actually just talked to Cam Rao this afternoon. We were on the phone for 2 hours comparing, like, sanity levels and levels of feeling like scumbags and cultural appropriators and stuff like that. But I don't really talk to the others very much. We happen to be in the same region. So
mm-hmm.
I see my work, and it's the only sort of access I have to these other people who I am in partnership with, and it's very weird. It's very postmodern. It's really strange.
So you edit on paper, and then you send them, like the production people, your tape and the edit sheet?
Exactly.
And then
so
they edit.
In a week, I come into a town, try and find a story, do the story, do everything, and then sit down, and it usually takes me about a day or so to edit. I plug the camcorder into the TV, or if I'm really, you know, stuck up, whatever. Just look at it in the camera, in the little tiny monitor in the camera, and I write down with the time code, you know, the edit list, which is kind of a weird process, but apparently it's a good thing to learn if you want to work at CBC because they do things backwards there. So.
Uh-huh.
And then I send it off by courier and they edit it, and I rarely ever get the time to talk to them on the phone about changes because they're really, really busy. There's about, you know, 3 weeks between the time that some of the footage is sent in and it's aired, sometimes even less, so
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty wild experience.
Are you happy with how they're putting your stories together?
So far, yeah. Obviously, things change here and there because I just can't see what's going to happen physically when one shot goes to the next. And also, I have a lot of trouble distancing myself from the footage because I actually live through the experience.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with the piece I did on the cowgirls, there was part of it that I thought was really amazing when this cow jumped up and tried to eat my camera and stuck its nose in the lens and spit all over me, and I went flying, and the camera was sort of jumping all over the place. I thought it was really exciting and everything, but it didn't really work on video, so they didn't actually use that sequence, and they used some other stuff, which worked even better, and I couldn't really distance myself from it because the actual experience had been so intense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good because they have the distance, and they have a lot more of a critical edge than I do because I'm just so, like, wide-eyed and excited that I can't really see straight half the time.
Well, not only are you shooting a story, but you are also the narrator of the story, usually.
Yeah.
And that seems to be
how... they've even told us to be in the story a little more than
okay.
we thought we would. In our first week on the road, they told us that the head of arts and entertainment at CBC wanted us to be more involved in the stories, which gets into more political issues, which I'm sure we could talk about.
Go ahead. Yes, there's a responsibility in the politics of what you choose to do, and then again, how it's edited, how it's aired.
Yeah, you said it, Deb. That's it. There's so many things to consider. I'm always walking on this tightrope with about five or six different issues. Issues of cultural appropriation, issues of otherness.
What have you confronted so far?
Being someone, here I start to stutter because I get so confused. Someone who doesn't trust the media, first of all, being a woman and being a feminist and being a lesbian, I don't have a lot of trust or respect for most media, mainstream media. Now I've all of a sudden found myself in this difficult position of being inside this big institution
yeah.
that I don't have any respect for. So a lot of the times I want to do stories about people who are similarly marginalized, and it's very difficult because, for example, I went into a reserve in Alberta, an Indian reserve, called Hobima, to do a story there. It's just south of Edmonton. And, you know, I thought, oh my God, these people probably hate the media as much as I do. Why would they? Oh, I am scum. I'm the oppressor. I'm coming in here with a camera. And in fact, you know, they didn't actually really care. But I had so much sort of angst, you know, a lot of it was white angst and a lot of other stuff, trying to deal with all these complex issues, thinking, well, so many people distrust the media. Why do they trust me? Oh my God, I have this huge responsibility. And you know, it's also very difficult going into a place you're not familiar with, having so little time and trying not to have a very superficial sort of outsider's view of things. That's really hard to do. It's something I'm always thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose you'll get better at it as time goes on as well. But, I mean, part of it is acknowledging the fact that you are not just any old tourist, but a tourist with a camera.
A tourist with a camera, and I'm very privileged. I'm very lucky to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to take that privilege really seriously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's difficult because I want to do serious stories. And I can't always because it's very emotionally draining. And it just the sheer fact that I'm traveling so much is, you know, it's not all that glamorous. It is really hard. It's a wonderful experience. But it's also, like, I had a very difficult day today and I'm talking to the producers and I was freaking out. You know, so there's a lot of these things that I'm trying to balance, and I think it's great. I mean, I think it's really good to be forced to go out on a limb, and I don't want to take this privilege blindly and just do schlock, but, mm-hmm. you know, they've already aired some schlock that I did, so I don't have much
which
control
one are you
that,
referring?
So.
Which one are you referring to?
The first show,
right.
This really stupid piece on a magician, it was actually like a test tape, and they decided that they just thought it was wonderful, so they aired it, much to my chagrin. It was really embarrassing, and I thought it was just great, you know? So I, you know, I'm starting to think about the politics of mm-hmm. how do I get what I want on air on air.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is a 26-week series, or
yeah.
potentially. So
yeah, so that's a long time.
Given
you know,
that we're
and
only 3 weeks
I think
into
it's,
it.
I consider it a major coup that they're actually going to put on the gay pride piece tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be about, you know, gay bashing or police brutality or child molesters. It's just going to be lots of fags and dykes having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100,000 of us. And there was as many people that Pride celebration as there were in Ottawa for Canada Day. And, you know, I think that they understood that, and they were quite shocked at how many people there were. And I said, look, you know, you don't see this stuff on TV. Like, try and make a difference for once, you know. You can't deny that this was happening and that it's fun. And, like, you want to be cutting edge. This is cutting edge. And I didn't even have to say that. They just did it. Wanted to do it.
Good,
they were into it. They actually used that piece in tonight's show as
terrific.
Lighter pieces.
Right, right.
Show up, and I thought, my goodness, I've fallen asleep and the whole world has changed and nobody told me.
No, you've been on the road, that's why.
Yeah, oh, I'm on the road and now everybody's really open about fags and dykes. Gee, how did that happen? You know, it's really strange.
What's your travel budget like? Is everything taken care of for you?
Well, we get free train, bus, and the occasional airplane, but that's all very tight.
Right.
And we get 15 car rentals over a period of 90 days. And I get $600 a week, and it's actually kind of tight.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty tight. Oh, and 15 free nights in a hotel, Journey's End, over a period of 90 days. So it's really not that great. And
but, I mean, you're definitely surviving here.
Oh, I'm certainly surviving. I'm just saying that it's not that great because I've been reading a lot of reviews that really sort of harp on the fact that we get all this money, and we have all these sponsors, and it's like this luxurious life, and it's like a hell of a lot more luxurious than anything I've ever done because I've always lived well below the poverty line being a student, you know, but
mm-hmm.
Considering how other people in the corporation work, it's you know, it's like it is living on the edge, definitely, and it's good because you see the edginess coming out in the show.
Yes, well, and again, to reiterate, it's 26 weeks. We're only 3 weeks into it.
Yeah, it's going to go on for quite a while until December.
Yeah, and it's going to get better.
Yeah,
I mean, inevitably.
I think so. I mean, the third show, I think, was the best, and I've heard that the fourth show is even better. Because I'm always on the phone with Ottawa, where they put the show together, sort of trying to get the scoop on what's happening
yeah.
and have some kind of contact. And, yeah, it can only get better, I hope. I mean, I'm also hoping that it won't become too dull, because it could be very easy, again, going back to the whole thing about them wanting us in the stories more.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of the balancing acts that I try to do. There's a thin line between putting yourself in a story, weaving yourself into a story that's about a place or a person, or making the story about you. Which is offensive, and it's boring, and it's self-important, and, well, I mean, it's a sort of a self-important project, but I'm hoping
we've got to have a bit of
balance
an ego
that we can strike.
What about the production team? What's your relationship with them like?
Well, it's pretty close. I talk to them sometimes every day.
Really?
You know, I have two new surrogate mothers, the executive producer and the online producer of the show in Ottawa. They're the ones who put the show together, and they trained us, and I trust them
implicitly.
I trust them a lot.
A lot.
I trust them implicitly. And they're really, I mean, I just learned so much from just the 2 weeks I was in Ottawa, you know. So I talk to them all the time, and there's not tons of negotiation going on right now because we really literally don't have the time, but the first couple of weeks, there's a lot of consultation going on, and I was actually just on the phone with Sheila, the online producer, before I called you, having a little bit of a nervous breakdown. And
why?
Sorry?
Why are you having a nervous breakdown?
Oh, you know, just sort of continual problems of, like, am I doing okay? Is this all right? Is this any good? Having self-esteem problems, because the first few weeks went really well, and then I sort of burnt out, and I'm kind of hitting a wall. So our energy levels go up and down, and
mm-hmm.
it's inevitable, but,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have people who are putting together the show that you trust and who, you know, really look out for your interests and and you can call in the middle of the night and whine too. You know, it's great.
Well, it is great. I mean, after all, you're probably on your own a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I am pretty much on my own most of the time. I manage to see my girlfriend every once in a while. I try and squeeze that in.
So you've got her, what, flying to meet you in places where you are?
Yeah, in Edmonton. I'm actually going to see her this weekend. And I'm going to see Cam Rao as well, the other dyke on the show. And she actually is with her girlfriend at the moment. Funny, isn't that?
That's
and we're
nice.
All going to meet up in Edmonton this weekend and go to the gay bar there, which is really fun. The bar in Edmonton is great.
Oh, yeah.
Pride Week in Edmonton was wonderful. It was a really good experience. Small, but, you know, but pretty feisty for well, there's 700,000 people in Edmonton. It's funny, I all of a sudden know the population of every town
yes,
in Canada.
Yes, I noticed.
Never was really that interested in things like that before. So anyways, we're going to all rendezvous in Edmonton and go out on the weekend, and then I'm going to take a train across the interior of BC and then take a boat down the coast and go to Vancouver Island and hang out in Vancouver.
So there'll be some stories from Vancouver Island and Vancouver.
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to getting there. You know, they actually do not have enough urban stories on the show, so
yeah.
I hope I can just hang out there and do a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got a lot of rural stories, and they've sent basically four of us to northern Canada so far, which is where I am now. And so they've got a lot of stories from the north, which is really wonderful, and I think it's about time. But it's kind of, you know, like I said, I have a lot of balancing acts. They have even more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to put together a very progressive show. Gender balanced, it's sort of racially balanced, more
well,
so than we usually
clearly
see on
an attempt.
Television.
Yeah.
Regionally balanced, and to keep all of those things, you know, in balance every week is pretty difficult, so I don't envy their job, that's
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Now, you were featured in Extra magazine as well.
Yes. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was supposed to fax you a copy
yes,
today, but I was having a nervous breakdown. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Send it soon. Well, what was that like? Did they contact you?
No, we actually contacted them. I mean, I could write a book about, like, positioning myself as a lesbian in this large mega machinery
yeah.
of, like, national television. When we were in Toronto training, the PR people came in and talked to us every once in a while and told us about, you know, whenever you get into a new town, contact publicists and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And Cam and I really wanted to contact Extra because we thought that everybody should know that we were out lesbians, which is what we are, in our application for the show, and that was not a problem. And in fact, you know, it showed them that we sort of, I don't know, had a strong sense of character and identity. That's what they were looking for, people with strong perspectives. And we were talking to the PR people and saying, well, can we contact people on our own and this and that, and sort of roundabout we're trying
mm-hmm.
to get to this question. And they were very cheerful and real happy until I said, well, because we were thinking of contacting Extra, we'd like to do an interview with them. And then they kind of freaked out at us. It was a little tense, and I think that was the first moment that they realized that we were real live dykes and we were not going to pretend that we were otherwise. And in fact, we were going to tell as many other dykes that we were and that we're on TV and please watch us.
Right.
So it was a really interesting moment, and then they got kind of weird, and then they bent over backwards to try and contact someone at Extra for us, and, you know, did the interview with a really wonderful writer, Kathleen. I can't remember her last name. She was in Montreal at the Pop Music Culture, the Pop Music Cultural Studies Conference that Danielle Como put on last fall. And she did a really, really good article on us, and very positive. She could have been quite critical. She was really, really positive, and it was great, because they published it during Pride Week, and lots of people are in town for that, and there was, you know, big pictures of two dykes that don't like myself or Cam, because we were all airbrushed and stuff, and saw it, you know, and it was really great. I mean, you can be critical of stuff, which I am. You know, I'm critical of the show. It's not going to be perfect, but I think it's pretty exciting that there's actually real live lesbians on TV.
Absolutely.
Finally, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. You've just got to keep your cynicism intact, Maureen. It's very healthy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, it gives us an edge. I mean, I don't want to... Like I said, I'm really aware that I have a very massive privilege right now, and, you know, I don't... do the right thing, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, go for it, you know? This is a great opportunity, really. As you say, though, it's not just all fun and games, but to travel the country and to experiment with video and then to be shown nationally on TV is probably going to be good for your career.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I guess you could say it should be.
I guess you could say that, yeah. Okay, Maureen, well, I think we've probably covered it now. This is going to cost you a fortune.
And without getting into, like, you know, where do I do my laundry and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't really have to know that. You've got to have some privacy.
Yeah. Well, listen. The show is only going to get better, And I promise you that there'll always be some really exciting, interesting, edgy stories on every week. Because they're very concerned about keeping it, you know, keeping it on the edge. It's not all going to be fluff, and it's not going to be a travelogue.
Okay. So that's 8:30 tonight. 8:30 tonight on CBC.
8:30 every Monday night until December.
Right. Okay, just hold the line, Maureen. We'll go to musical break.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Why don't we take me away?